On Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA, it's WRTA Weekend. Doug Herendeen, and we have a new monthly segment. Liesl Kapphammer is with ARC, Federal Credit Union, in Altoona, and this is a program that they're going to be doing called Money Matters, the second of them. And if you missed the first one, you can see the podcast at WRTA.com. Liesl, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
And we're going to try to tackle a different subject each month that we think is useful to you, that can help out your family or just you. And this particular month, we're going to talk about creating a budget. Now, I have to admit, my budget pretty much is I make X. My budget is spend a lot less than X.
That's a good start.
Well, so far I've been able to do it. I'll try to save up for something that I want if it's a big expense and just, you know, I may charge it because I get, mm-hmm. you know, cash back, but I've got the money to pay for it before I put it on the credit card. That's probably not the official best way to do budgeting, is it?
From an official standpoint, no, but you are doing better than a lot of people out there. So I won't critique you too hard on that,
okay.
that approach.
It's just the only real debt I've had is buying a car and buying a house, mm-hmm. which, of course, that's a continuing thing, but it's either rent or mortgage. So that's how I was able to reconcile that in my mind, and I saved up until I had what I thought was a decent down payment. Otherwise, I wouldn't have made the leap to doing that. Mm-hmm. Most people need to start where?
So you need to look at what you're making and what you have to spend money on. We're going to break that down into your needs, mm-hmm. and your wants is kind of what you look at your money being spent on. And we like to see, there's a basic principle called the 50-30-20 rule. So what you make in a month, let's say, we like to look at like a monthly overview. I know some people don't always make the same amount every month, but you can look at one month and just say, okay, what did I make this month? And there are certain expenses that shouldn't change, like your rent or your mortgage. And then, you know, how much did you spend on food? There are things that you need to pay, your utilities, those can be variable, but at least get a ballpark number for how much do I have to spend every month on those things I have to have, and take that out of how much do I make. You should be spending 50% of what you make on your needs, your housing, your utilities, transportation. So whether you have a bus pass or whether you have a car payment, you know, pay for gas when you fill up your car and get your inspection and everything that goes along with that. Try to keep that within that 50% range. I know, given the current economic environment, that's not always possible.
Yeah, inflation seems to have a different idea than that.
Yes, yes. And then the 30% would be your wants. And then 20% should go to your savings. And that is a rough outline. You don't have to stick to that because everybody's income is a little different based on what their life situation is, where they're at. Someone might be at a point where they're trying to save more, or maybe at this stage in life, they can't quite save that much right now. They have their needs are more than 50% of their income. So maybe they're going to have to pull back a little bit on those other areas.
I suppose it also changes over time because when I look back on what I've saved over the years for a specific thing, whether it be a down payment on a car or the down payment on the house, I sit there and think, I don't know that I could do that again.
Right.
I was able to do it up to that point, but then again, I, you know, theoretically don't have to except maybe replacing the car someday.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to save toward what would be a down payment on that. But how do you get into the habit of doing it? You're talking about, again, the 50, 30, 20. I know some people are going to say, oh, saving the 20, I can't save 5%.
Right.
Based on their expenses.
And that is, like you said, habits. Building those habits, you have to start. Even if you start small, and I know depending on your age and your current position, even if you're putting $10 out of every paycheck into a savings account and you're not touching that, start somewhere because you would be surprised how quickly those little bits of savings start to add up. And then you have a cushion if something does happen.
I mean, it'd be $520 a year if you do that, but mm-hmm. it's better than zero.
Right, because you could very easily have a $400 or $500 expense if your car breaks down. And then you don't have to say, oh, my gosh, I have to put this on a credit card, or I have to go to my bank for an emergency loan, you know, for a couple $100s. And then that's an extra expense every month, as opposed to, oh, look, I can just take it out of my savings and I don't have to go to someone for that and then pay it back with interest.
Has it been your expense? And I'll just have to throw this out here. It seems whenever I have made been able to save a certain amount, I'll look at it on the statement or as I'm calculating it or taking care of things to say, wow, that's great. This month I saved X. And then the next month comes and bang, there's an expense where you need new tires or you need this or you or the doctor wants to do a test or it's like, oh, well, somewhat. Yeah, but at least I'm not in the hole. It washes out everything that I just accomplished, but it was better than being in the hole and then having to do it again.
Right, right. And that does seem to happen. I feel like I hear people say that all the time, like, oh, I got to take that out of my savings account now. So much for I'm starting back from square one. Or
yeah.
And that does happen. And it is frustrating. But at the same time, you're right. You aren't digging that hole deeper, at least. You know, you have that ability to start back at zero or maybe a little bit ahead of where you were.
When you talk about tracking spending and income, you have some notes that you gave me here about gathering financial documents, account statements, pay stubs, all that. I think most of us have a general idea what we're making. When you talk mm-hmm. to people, are they surprised when they do it as you instructed? And it's like, wow, I didn't know I was spending this much on X, or wait, I do have some place where I can cut back. Do you find many people surprised by actually putting it down on paper?
There are the little things that people don't realize how much they add up. Kind of like if you just start saving a little bit at a time, when you're only spending a little bit at a time, you also don't realize how quickly that adds up. And I'm going to quickly highlight things like a Netflix subscription or Hulu, YouTube. When you do those paid subscriptions and you're like, oh, it's like 10 or 15 bucks a month.
Mm-hmm.
It does add up over time, especially if that charge hits your account and you weren't expecting it. You forgot that it was coming out. And then you get a fee from your bank because you didn't have the funds there. Mm-hmm. You're paying even more than just that $15 or whatever a month.
Speaking of that, just as an aside, when you talk about paying the minimum versus paying the actual balance on a credit card, I think that is probably one of the hidden places where people don't realize how much they're spending.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum payment, only $25. Oh, great. But if you sit down and calculate, I suppose most of us can do this if we paid any attention in school and math, how much it's going to cost in interest.
Well, and there was a regulation that came out. I don't even know exactly when it hit, but they had to start putting the amounts on your credit card statements. And a lot of people don't look at their printed statements because it is on your printed statement. I'm not sure where you would find it if you logged into your online version, but it shows you if you only pay the minimum payment and you keep your balance the same, like you don't add any more charges to your card and you only pay the minimum, this is how long it takes to pay off and this is how much you'll pay in interest, versus if you pay this much extra, this is how fast you could pay it off, and this is how much you'll pay in interest.
And I know somebody's going to throw something at the radio. Please don't. It's your radio. You'd have to replace it. We hope you would. But again, going back to my idea of have the cash ready to go and then buy it with the credit card if you want to track your spending or get points or whatever. In some cases, if you pay cash now, they'll give you like a 3.4% discount because they're saving you the credit card processing fee by doing that. But if you pay it off every month, you don't have to worry about any of that.
That's correct. And a lot of us fall into the credit card trap because we don't have the funds to pay it off every month. And that's a dangerous place to be, is to rely on those credit cards for our regular purchases or those needs as opposed to those wants.
And again, I know somebody's going to sit there and say, well, that's easy for you to say. You're mm-hmm. obviously doing better than I am, you being the listener. No, I just know a lot of my friends, I saw this from college on, where they would have stuff I didn't have, I couldn't afford. It's like, well, how do you have that? I just charge it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you, well, yeah, but doesn't it get, I pay the minimum. Yeah, but you're signing your life away by doing that. But they had all this stuff that I didn't have it, and I didn't have the bills either.
Right. And eventually that minimum just creeps up and creeps up until the minimum payment becomes unmanageable. And that's when people really start to struggle. And that's why we have our financial counselors available, that you can come to us and say, look, I was just paying the minimum and it was okay. And then the minimum is now, you know, $287 a month. And I have my rent and I have my utilities and I have all this other stuff on top of that. How can I manage this? I'm never going to get ahead if all I'm doing is paying the minimum.
Yeah. So to recap what we said in this segment, what you brought here was track the spending and income, because you don't know otherwise. Count up the totals. List your needs. In other words, living expenses, rent, food, electric, gas, oil, whatever.
Correct.
And your wants. And then you've got supposedly 20%, supposedly, if you can do it, for savings. And assign dollar amounts. If you say you can create a spreadsheet, or my way of doing everything is pencil and paper and, and a calculator, because I don't trust myself to do. My mother could do math in her head until she was 90.
That's amazing.
Yeah. She'd sit there and bounce a checkbook. And, you know, and I saw her do it one time. Let me check this. Did the calculator. Yep, dead on. So if you can do that, we'll leave it for there. We've got one more segment. But before we go from this segment, you guys are doing something to support the Central Pennsylvania Humane Society right now.
That's correct. We are collecting donations at both of our branches. So we have lists up on our Facebook page. You can also visit the Central Pennsylvania Humane Society's website, that the items that they need, whether they're for the pets or just for office upkeep at the Humane Society, if you want to volunteer to help out, anything can be a help to them, you know, whether it's pet supplies or office supplies.
For those that don't know, they had a huge financial hit when they took about 30 of those 90 animals that were found in Bedford at the beginning of the year, at the end of last year, all at once. There were medical issues. There was just feeding and housing all these people. And it pretty much destroyed their budget for the year.
Right. And if you're willing to be a foster home for some of the animals, because I know they're their kennels are filled, and it's stressful for the animals. It's hard to go in and want to interact with them when they're stressed like that. It's difficult.
And I would remind you, if you're listening today, we're recording this in advance. We always admit that. But this is airing on the 24th, and tonight is the Mardi Paw at the Bavarian Hall. It's $25 to get in. It's a fun night, and it benefits the Central Pennsylvania Humane Society.
A wonderful cause.
It's WRTA Weekend. Doug Herendeen and Liesl Kapphammer with ARC, Federal Credit Union. This is Money Matters, and we're talking about creating a budget. You mentioned something in the earlier segment about the 50-30-20 budget, and you also said you knew, we're talking during the break, and Liesl says, I know some people can't do that because they don't make enough to put it in that order. It's a guideline, you say?
It is. It's very subjective to you. Individually, every budget is very personalized, but that 50-30-20 rule is how do you need to adjust it for your life, for your income, where you are at in your life right now. It doesn't have to be 50% to your needs and 30% to your wants and 20% to savings. You can tweak that and adjust that. Budgets are living, breathing things. You need to reassess them. It should be monthly, ideally, but if you're looking at it even once or twice a year, just to say, what has changed? Did I get a raise? Did I maybe lose hours at work? Did things like that. Look at that and see, I know food prices have gone up. So you have to be aware that maybe those percentages will vary.
Yeah, because I'm sure there's somebody who's making X per month sitting there thinking, there's no way I can possibly do that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, as Liesl said, general guideline. But if you can try to adapt it to you, the first thing, again, tracking the spending and what you're going to have to spend, like your necessities versus the wants versus anything, quote unquote, left over. Technically, nothing is left over.
Right.
And there are some different budgeting systems. About you. How about you go through those?
So traditionally, you want to look at using, like we talked about, spreadsheets, pencil and paper. There are apps, which are becoming very, very popular because people have their phones with them all the time.
Mm.
And we had brought this up at our last segment briefly, that money envelope system.
Okay.
And because some people like to deal in cash. I mean, there are plenty of people that feel comfortable in cash because they know once it's gone, they won't overspend it. There are digital versions of the money envelope system. Most financial institutions will let you open up either sub accounts or suffixes to your main account or just multiple accounts. So if you want to have one account that you only put the money in for your utilities and for your rent, you know, that needs bucket. So if you have an account for that and you say, I know it's going to be this much money this month, and when you get paid, you move that over and have those payments set to pull directly from there, you know, I know this is going to be paid. I know there's enough in there.
If I can just interject for a second, people are going to say, oh, well, I've never heard of doing something like that. And I bet everybody's heard of the Christmas Club.
Exactly.
It's a similar idea.
Absolutely.
Except you're physically moving the stuff into those separate envelopes.
Right. So with the cash, you would withdraw cash. You would have an envelope for, let's say, groceries, an envelope for your utility bills, an envelope for your rent, an envelope for, you know, entertainment expenses. And with the digital version of those envelopes, you would have a different account or sub-account, however your financial institution breaks that down. And a lot of times you can go online. They might already be titled differently. Or maybe you can go in and edit that. It depends on, again, the financial institution. But Christmas Club, Vacation Club, Special Savings, it just depends on what they might be called. You can ask. They may already exist and be very easy to open up. And then you can just do transfers between them very quickly, very easily.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have that in the app. ARC has an app, right?
We do.
Yeah. So for people not aware, Apple or Android, you can download it and just put your account information. I was talking with a banker some years ago, and they said, don't be afraid to use the apps. They're more secure than you think and maybe more than your desktop. What's your take on that?
I would say that it depends on how savvy, I don't want to say savvy maybe, but do you make sure that you keep your electronic devices protected? Do you have passwords? Are you on questionable sites? Do you shop on? I don't want to say Temu, but I mean, I hate
that.
We're
all thinking, I don't care how many Super Bowl commercials you ran, pal. I'm not downloading your app.
Exactly. Like, are you shopping from reputable suppliers? Are you upgrading whenever it says, hey, you need to do updates on your phone or on your computer? Are you doing those updates for patches?
And does your phone lock automatically? The fingerprint thing is a good way to do that as well.
Biometrics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess most phones do that now, the most smartphones.
Yeah, yeah. I would assume so. My last several have.
Yeah. And again, on the 50-30-20 budget, 50% needs, 30% wants, 20% for savings. I would imagine, again, somebody sitting there saying, oh, I can't possibly save, maybe take that out of the needs category, because you can't do much about, or take it out of the wants category. I mean, the needs, your rent or mortgage, how much you spend for food. Well, maybe eat out less often. I hate to say that. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of businesses that would love it if people ate out more. The longer I've been an adult, the more I relate to my folks when they used to say we'd be in the drive-thru. We have drinks at home.
Right. Uh-huh.
I guess there are ways that you're going to have to, if you can shave from one category to put into the other, it literally is saving you.
Correct. And always look at creating a budget. Remember that it's not about restricting what you do, but it's more about prioritizing what you do, because you have to have the funds for the things that are most important. You don't want to be short funds for something that you really need, because you ended up spending it on something that you probably could have gone without and still been okay. But all of a sudden you have a massive heating bill because we had a really cold month and you didn't expect it. And now you aren't able to fully pay that, or, you know, you don't want to be stuck in that situation.
I would also suggest if people are in that situation, whether it be electric, gas, what have you, get on a budget plan.
Mm-hmm.
I've been shocked to know how many people didn't realize they can do that. Some you have to be with the utility for an entire year, then they'll let you do the budget plan when they see what you've spent, and that way you're paying, you instead of paying an outrageous bill in the dead of winter, you'll pay a smaller bill 12 months a year, so you'll be paying more than you're using in August, but boy, will you be happy that you did when the next February rolls around.
Right. And for people that struggle with those variable bills, like utilities, to say, I don't know how much to set aside for my gas each month because it changes every month, something like that might make budgeting easier.
The thing that's helped me is, and it, unfortunately, you can't do much about it. If you're going to use it, you're going to pay more for gas, et cetera. But a couple of my credit cards have a deal where you can have a spending analyzer. It just comes up on the app, mm-hmm. or it comes up on the website. So, yeah, I didn't realize I spent that much on restaurants. I didn't right. realize I spent that much on gas. Well, if you have to make a trip, that's one thing. There was a thing during World War II when they were rationing gas. They would, and the only vestige of it today is in old Bugs Bunny cartoons. Is this trip really necessary? The government used to have posters where they would remind folks, don't, you know, you're not doing a Sunday drive here in the middle of a wartime. But for your own budgeting sense, that doesn't hurt.
Right. Well, and I think the maybe the modern day equivalent of that, to an extent, I don't want to say completely, would be there are apps like Instacart and things like that that people like to use to get groceries delivered. And you're still paying a delivery fee, but are you paying for the wear and tear on your vehicle? Is it saving you time? Again, everybody's situation is unique to them. So does that pan out better for you in the long term financially? Like, oh, well, I can work more hours at my job if I don't have to trim, you know, this time out of my week to go to the grocery store every week or to
figure out what your time costs to take it away from what you do for a living.
Right.
So the other apps you were talking about, again, Every Dollar and Good Budget.
Correct. I mean, those are not ARC apps. Those are just some of the most popular budgeting apps that are out there. There are so many. It would be impossible to list them all. But and you can go into the App Store, the Play Store, whatever you have on your phone, and look through. Always find something that has like a ton of downloads. Like I always look for like a million downloads. That might be a little excessive, but I like to know that this is a reliable app that has a good rating on it, you know, 4 stars or above.
You read the reviews like I do?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I know. I'm strange that way, but I figure if it's got, you know, all 1-star reviews, chances are I don't want it.
Right. And you know you're always going to have those couple people that, you know, not everything is for everyone. So you're going to have a few, you know, 1-star reviews here and there for everything.
Yeah.
But you look for what is there the most of? Do most people seem happy with it? And are there a lot of downloads? So I know it's not something gimmicky or a virus or something.
All right. So to go over the steps here, track spending and income, tally up the totals, list your needs, list your wants, assign dollar values. Adjust it yearly based on your budget and spending, based on what your income is. If you increase your income, don't say, oh, I can just go out and buy anything now.
Right.
You know, like Liesl says, if you readjust the 50-30-20 thing, you won't be as tempted to do that, whether you do the traditional budget, the money envelope system, or that 50-30-20, if you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else to add here before we end?
No, I know that it can seem overwhelming at first, so please don't feel like this is a daunting process. We have resources on our website if you don't want to come in and talk to someone one-on-one. But if you feel like you've looked through things online or listened to the talks we're having and still feel like you need additional guidance, we do have people in our branches that can help you out with that. So please call or text us. And
the branches are where?
They're both in Altoona, but one is the Juniata end. So we do have a lot of people that come from like Bellwood and Tipton, Tyrone that like to visit that one right down by the shops there. And our other one is right off 17th Street. So we're easy access.
And the website is?
arcfcu.org.
And if that went by too fast, don't worry. There's going to be a podcast of this program up on WRTA.com just a few minutes after we finish the program today on WRTA Weekend. Liesl Kaffhammer with ARC Federal Credit Union. Thank you very much.
Thank you.